Welcome back, everybody.
Hey,
all it's Chip right. and Eric.
Thank you so much.
High above the world.
Yeah. Hey, we're
waving
okay.
to everybody
good
from
to
the hot
you.
Air balloon that Allison loaned us.
Hey, Mom.
Oh, yeah, there's Kathy. Yeah, hey, Kathy.
She's always there.
Wow.
I tell you.
Hang on, Chip. I'm going to let her down.
Okay.
Boom.
That's the sound.
Just a boom.
Boom.
Boom, boom.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was fun, Eric. Well, we got to get back at it. Hey, speaking of hot air balloons, today is day 82.
Yeah.
And it's March 22nd. We're going to read Joshua 9 and 10, and we're going to jump ahead to 1 Peter chapter 3.
Yeah. Little known fact, Chip and I haven't read the Bible together in 2 years. This has been AI the whole time.
Yeah.
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 So.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the robots are reading the Bible too. Did.
Okay, John.
It's fine. All right. Hey. The Gibeonites deceive Israel.
What?
Yeah, okay. Pretty interesting stuff.
Can't wait to...
Joshua chapter 9. Now all the kings west of the Jordan River heard about what had happened. They were the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites who lived in the hill country in the western foothills and along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea as far north as the Lebanon Mountains. These kings combined their armies to fight as one against Joshua and the Israelites. But when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to deception to save themselves. They sent ambassadors to Joshua, loading their donkeys with weathered saddlebags and old patched wineskins. They put on worn out, patched sandals and ragged clothes, and the bread they took with them was dry and moldy. When they arrived at the camp of Israel at Gilgal, they told Joshua and the men of Israel, "We've come from a distant land to ask you to make a peace treaty with us." The Israelites replied to these Hivites, "How do we know that you don't live nearby? For if you do, we cannot make a treaty with you." They replied, "We are your servants." "But who are you?" Joshua demanded. "Where do you come from?" They answered, "Your servants have come from a very distant country. We have heard of the might of the Lord your God and of all he did in Egypt. We heard what he did to the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, King Sihon of Heshbon and King Og of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth. So our elders and all our people instructed us, take supplies for a long journey, go meet with the people of Israel and tell them, we are your servants, please make a treaty with us. This bread was hot from the ovens when we left our homes, but now as you see, it is dry and moldy. These wineskins were new when we filled them, but now they are old and split open. Our clothing and sandals are worn out from our very long journey." So the Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult with the Lord. Then Joshua made a peace treaty with them and guaranteed their safety, and the leaders of the community ratified their agreement with a binding oath. 3 days after making the treaty, they learned that these people actually lived nearby. The Israelites set out at once to investigate and reach their towns in 3 days. The names of these towns were Gibeon, Kephira, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the Israelites did not attack the towns, for the Israelite leaders had made a vow to them in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. The people of Israel grumbled against their leaders because of the treaty. But the leaders replied, "Since we have sworn an oath in the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel, we cannot touch them. This is what we must do. We must let them live, for divine anger would come upon us if we broke our oath. Let them live." So they made them woodcutters and water carriers for the entire community, as the Israelite leaders directed. Joshua called together the Gibeonites and said, "Why did you lie to us? Why did you say that you live in a distant land when you live right here among us? May you be cursed. From now on, you will always be servants who cut wood and carry water for the house of my God." They replied, "We did it because we, your servants, were clearly told that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you this entire land and destroy all the people living in it. So we feared greatly for our lives because of you. That is why we've done this. Now we are at your mercy. Do to us whatever you think is right." So Joshua did not allow the people of Israel to kill them. But that day he made the Gibeonites the woodcutters and water carriers for the community of Israel and for the altar of the Lord, wherever the Lord would choose to build it. And that is what they do to this day.
Joshua chapter 10, Israel defeats the southern armies. Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had captured and completely destroyed Ai and killed its king, just as he had destroyed the town of Jericho and killed its king. He also learned that the Gibeonites had made peace with Israel and were now their allies. He and his people became very afraid when he heard all this, because Gibeon was a large town, as large as the royal cities and larger than Ai. And the Gibeonite men were strong warriors. So King Adoni-Zedek of Jerusalem sent messengers to several other kings, Hoham of Hebron, Piram of Jarmuth, Japhia of Lachish, and Debir of Eglon. Come and help me destroy Gibeon, he urged them, for they had made peace with Joshua and the people of Israel. So these five Amorite kings combined their armies for a united attack. They moved all their troops into place and attacked Gibeon. The men of Gibeon quickly sent messengers to Joshua at his camp in Gilgal, saying, don't abandon your servants now, they pleaded. Come at once, save us, help us, for all the Amorite kings who live in the hill country have joined forces to attack us. So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal, set out for Gibeon. Do not be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. Joshua traveled all night from Gilgal and took the Amorite armies by surprise. The Lord threw them into a panic, and the Israelites slaughtered great numbers of them at Gibeon. Then the Israelites chased the enemy along the road to Beth Horon, killing them all along the way to Azekah and Makeda. As the Amorites retreated down the road from Beth Horon, the Lord destroyed them with a terrible hailstorm from heaven that continued until they reached Azekah. The hail killed more than the enemy than the Israelites killed with the sword. On the day the Lord gave the Israelite victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel, and he said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon, and the moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. Is this event not recorded in the book of Jashar? The sun stayed in the middle of the sky, and it did not set as on a normal day. There has never been a day like this one before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. Then Joshua and the Israelite army returned to their camp at Gilgal.
Joshua kills the five southern kings. During the battle, the five kings escaped and hid in a cave at Makeda. When Joshua heard that they had been found, he issued this command. Cover the opening of the cave with large rocks and place guards at the entrance to keep the kings inside. The rest of you continue chasing the enemy and cut them down from the rear. Don't give them a chance to get back to their towns, for the Lord your God has given you victory over them. So Joshua and the Israelite army continued to slaughter and completely crushed the enemy. They totally wiped out the five armies except for a tiny remnant that managed to reach their fortified towns. Then the Israelites returned safely to Joshua in the camp at Makeda. At that time, no one dared to speak a word against Israel. Then Joshua said, remove the rocks covering the opening of the cave and bring the five kings to me. So they brought the five kings out of the cave, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. When they brought them out, Joshua told the commanders of his army, come and put your feet on the king's necks. And they did as they were told. Don't ever be afraid or discouraged, Joshua told his men. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is going to do this to all of your enemies. Then Joshua killed each of the kings and impaled them on five sharpened poles where they hung until evening. As the sun was going down, Joshua gave instructions for the bodies of the kings to be taken down from the poles and thrown into the cave where they had been hiding. Then they covered the opening of the cave with a pile of large rocks, which remains to this very day.
Israel destroys the southern towns. That same day, Joshua captured and destroyed the towns of Makeda. He killed everyone in it, including the king, leaving no survivors. He destroyed them all, and he killed the king of Makeda as he killed the king of Jericho. Then Joshua and the Israelites went to Libna and attacked it. There, too, the Lord gave them the town and its king. He killed everyone in it, leaving no survivors. Then Joshua killed the king of Libna as he had killed the king of Jericho. From Libna, Joshua and the Israelites went to Lachish and attacked it. Here again, the Lord gave them Lachish. Joshua took it on the second day and killed everyone in it, just as he had done at Libna. During the attack on Lachish, King Horam of Gezer arrived with his army to help defend the town. But Joshua's men killed him and his army, leaving no survivors. Then Joshua and the Israelite army went on to Eglon and attacked it. They captured it that day and killed everyone in it. He completely destroyed everyone, just as he had done at Lachish. From Eglon, Joshua and the Israelite army went up to Hebron and attacked it. They captured the town and killed everyone in it, including its king, leaving no survivors. They did the same thing to all the surrounding villages, and just as he had done at Eglon, he completely destroyed the entire population. Then Joshua and the Israelites turned back and attacked Debir. He captured the town, its king, and all its surrounding villages. He completely destroyed everyone in it, leaving no survivors. He did to Debir and its king just what he had done to Hebron and to Libna and its king. So Joshua conquered the whole region, the kings and the people of the hill country, the Negev, the western foothills, and the mountain slopes. He completely destroyed everyone in the land, leaving no survivors, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded. Joshua slaughtered them from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza and from the region around the town of Goshen up to Gibeon. Joshua conquered all these things, or kings, and their land in a single campaign, for the Lord, the God of Israel, was fighting for his people. Then Joshua and the Israelite army returned to their camp at Gilgal.
Wow. Okay, off we go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Wives. 1 Peter chapter 3. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do.
Husbands, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered.
All Christians, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil.
Suffering for doing good. Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then, if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because of you belong to Christ. Remember, it's better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Those who disobeyed God long ago, when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Only 8 people were saved from drowning in the terrible flood. And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God, and all the angels and the authorities and powers accept his authority.
And that is our reading today. Okay. We read it. 2 questions of mine. How does this help me love God more? Mm-hmm. How does this help me love others more? So, Chip, how does this help you love God more?
This helps me love God more because I'm reminded that God fights for his people. Mm-hmm. We see that with Joshua in the reading there. And we see it today. God fights for his people. You know, God will protect his people. And God always wins. And I love that. I thought we read something in Peter about that went along with not returning evil for evil.
Yeah.
And just trusting God.
We did.
I lost it.
It was verse 11.
Okay.
No, sorry. It wasn't verse 11. It was verse 9.
Okay. Verse 9. Yes. Verse 9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That's kind of cool. It's just allowing God to fight the battles, trusting him to win. And I love the fact that God does fight for his people and that we can trust him with what we have to go through in life as we deal with difficult people in difficult situations.
Totally.
But if we focus on the blessing, we can allow him to handle the difficult part. Retribution.
Yeah. Let him deal with that.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good idea.
Yep. I love where he says, worship Christ with your lives, verse 15. very famous verse in this. Be ready to give an answer for hope. You know, very famous verse. And I love that. It helps me love others more when I think of that, because if you don't worship Christ. Okay, so this says, I'm going to start at the beginning here. Instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. At our church, and I know at your church, it's important. At our church, it's like on paper as one of our values, worshipful lifestyle. And one of the reasons why we encourage people to live a worshipful lifestyle, and I know First Baptist Church does too, one of the reasons why is so that people will ask you questions about your life so that you can share the good news with them. It is unloving toward other people to not worship Christ with your life, because then they can never ask you about the hope that you have as a believer. They'll never notice it, right? And then at the same time, it's unloving to worship Christ with your life and not answer people when they ask why you're the way you are, right? So this can help me love others better when I, one, take the step of having a worshipful lifestyle that encourages people to ask me about my life, and two, when I tie the knot, when I close the loose end on that, when they ask me, why are you the way you are? And I can say, let me tell you about the hope that I have, because Christ is in me, you know? And I just think that that is so cool, so awesome. And the reason why I can have the confidence to do that, Chip, is because God fights for his people. And I don't have to be afraid of what anyone's going to respond when I share the good news from my life. You know, I don't ever have to be afraid of that, because I know God is, he's with me. He's got me. He's, you know, the same way he's helping Joshua conquer the land, he is here helping us overcome the enemies of the gospel and the dark powers that rule this world.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. And I think it's not, you know, just a reminder for everybody. It's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just think about it. When you're doing what God wants, worshiping him, I mean, living a worshipful lifestyle, people are going to be asking.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, that's not common today.
Right. It stands in you dark know, contrast to the rest of the world. Yeah.
Like, who are you? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun, and you should expect it, you know, and embrace it. Like you said, I think that's a good point. It makes me really think about, like, it's almost like a sin if we don't capitalize on that.
Yeah, totally.
People. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So. Yeah. So create those opportunities by living a worshipful lifestyle, and then seize upon those opportunities.
Seize them.
Seize them.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do it.
I know you will.
All right.
Thanks for listening, guys. Super proud of you.
Yeah.
Man, if it's your first day or you're kind of just getting on board, you can actually, I discovered this. What? I didn't know it.
Oh.
You can comment on Spotify.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And so we've had a few people that have commented on Spotify, and it has been super encouraging. Now, the deal is I can't comment back to you.
Oh.
But we've shouted you out a couple of times, those who have done that.
Yeah, and we can do that.
So if you feel like commenting on Spotify,
yeah,
I think the general question that goes up, it's a Q&A style. I think the general question that goes up is, what did you think of this episode?
Oh.
you know, hey, let us know.
Any like, yeah.
Let us know. Any like, terrible? We want to know.
That was terrible.
Yeah. Well, I haven't got any of those
okay,
yet.
Okay, good.
But you should tell us if you know,
sure.
If you're reading with us, we want to know. And yeah, we keep an eye on those things. And we desperately
That's
want
good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to plug in and know what's going on. So thank you guys.
Thank you.
And super proud of you. And
so
we
proud.
Will catch you again next time.
Yes.
Yep. Bye-bye. Oh, Chip smiled at you too, just so you know.